Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach on a busy Thursday evening here at Everbank Field. A lot going on. Coaches working, burning the midnight oil, I'm sure. And also, there's one heck of an event going on that your wife is a part of, Gus. The Meet Me at the 50 event.
No, I know. It's been an unbelievable event, just how it's grown in size over the last couple of years. Over 600 tickets sold, and you know, for the In the Pink program. So, you know, the Jacksonville Women's Association, a big part of it, are coaches' wives, players' wives. So it's just a great event.
A great event that's going to raise a lot of money for the benefit tonight. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. All the proceeds from the event will benefit In the Pink, a First Coast nonprofit boutique serving individuals battling cancer. And a great deal, and got some celebrities in. Susie Colber, who has been on ESPN for a very long time and does a fantastic job in various different duties. And also John Gruden, your old boss, is coming in.
It's great. I just had a chance to visit with him for 45 minutes here, and just a great man. And for those two to take, their time is valuable. They're traveling all over, and for them to take out time to share this event with us and to be with our fans is great.
So what year did he hire you?
2006.
How did that happen?
You know what? A lot of it had to do with Monty Kiffin. There was an opening on the defensive side, and Monty Kiffin is generally a type of guy that will interview 25 candidates in order to find one person. So I was one of the 25 and came down in the interview and then met John Gruden and then spent some time with him, and it just took off from there.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Monty Kiffin was there prior to Gruden being there.
He was. He was with Coach Dungy.
Right.
So, and, then he kept him on as the defensive coordinator.
Might have been the greatest non-fire that John Gruden has ever made.
Yeah, he was.
By keeping Monty.
Yeah, and they're very close now. I know even last year Coach Kiffin worked with Coach Gruden, and they're great friends and still to this day.
And we're hoping to have him come join us here.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Show.
Sounds like he's coming on the last 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, the fans will love him.
Does he got some good stories about you? So what was your first title with him?
Quality control.
Okay,
coach.
Quality control, which is kind of low man on the totem pole when it comes to the coaching tree now.
Yeah. No, you know what? I was quality control coach for a year, and then he elevated me to linebacker coach for 2 years. So I was with him for 3 years, but great times. I mean, he's a fantastic person, fantastic coach, very informed, knows the game very well. And as you can see, when he's on Monday Night Football, he talks a different language.
And a lot of times quality control coaches typically, or in a lot of cases, will get hired, and the amount of money that they make is basically – equal to their age.
Yeah, as I look back at it, that's right. But, you do it more for the experience,
yeah.
And you get a chance to get your feet wet in the NFL and with great people.
All right, enough of that. We'll get back to that because we got John coming on, and I'm going to try to get some stories out of him about you, the early Gus Bradley.
Hopefully he's only on 8 minutes, Joe, not 15.
bye week, not typical of most bye weeks, certainly different. Hurricane Matthew came in, and typically is a weekend of rest and relaxation, didn't exactly turn into that for a lot of your coaches, a lot of your staff members. Everybody come out okay now that you've kind of had a chance to catch up with everybody, that as far as everybody's good, house is good.
Yeah, you know what? We're all blessed as far as that's concerned. You know, a lot of people, it worked out. I mean, it's very unfortunate that it took place, but the bye week is probably the right time to happen because our players were here. They had a chance to get out. And as coaches, we had some work done, and then we were able to leave. Can you imagine setting up practice, for Thursday and Friday in a situation like that? So, grateful for a lot of things. And then to be able to come back and have a practice Monday and not have to go somewhere else. So just feel very fortunate.
I was talking to a very good friend of mine earlier today, and he said, can you imagine if Hurricane Matthew came when it wasn't the bye week? And I started thinking to myself, I don't know what would be worse for an organization football-wise, because if it's a home game, okay, the unknown of what's going to happen, and obviously game is not very important when it comes to something like that. But then if it's an away game, you're probably going to get on a plane and leave early, but you're leaving loved ones behind.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, that's the big concern. Even when we met with the team on Wednesday when we heard the news, you know, that was the big concern, was about families and loved ones and, you know, how do we take care of this? And the players were looking for information. But our whole organization did a great job. Mega got out a lot of information. Dave Caldwell. So, I mean, it's pretty clear what we needed to do.
Yeah, and then I heard Mega was like, to use Dave Caldwell's term, Mega was a rock star.
She was. I mean, she had it all set up where players knew what they had to do. The facility was open if we needed that. And also plans, her and Hamza, plans to where we could go if we, you know, couldn't get back to our facility.
Yeah, I want to make sure that people kind of know who we're talking about. Hamza is in operations. He typically handles a lot of the logistics of traveling, setup, and everything else. And Mega works in the legal department. And I'm not exactly sure what her title is specifically. We'll get that for people so that we know. But, I mean, both of them, I mean, stepped up, did a great job, and supposedly had an email communication chain going that made sure that everybody was good.
Yeah, they did. They did. You know, I can't say it enough. I mean, it took a lot of pressure off us as coaches. We could explain it to the players. I think the players felt really good about the plan. So, yeah, it just, you know, as smooth as it could work, it did.
I give you credit because in your first press conference, you gave a lot of credit to the first responders. That was nicely said.
Well, you know what? I don't know many of them, but I know the jobs they do and how many people are counting on them. And, you know, it was an unbelievable task that they encountered. And to have it go as smoothly as it did, I know how much work goes into it. I can only imagine, and all the number of people involved. And it's not surprising in this community how fast it took care of itself, but just appreciate all of them.
The NFL rules as far as it governing bye week, you know, because – you were talking about the players were out of town. What are the rules now in the National Football League about what you can do during the bye week?
Well, you have to give them a certain amount of time off, you know, and that's on their CBA rules. So, you know, now whether you practice one day or meet with them or, you know, we chose to have a guest speaker. You're mandated by the NFL to have a guest speaker in one time a year. So we chose to do it this past week on Wednesday. Tony Dungy came in and spoke to our team. So he was great. I think the players, we got an extra lift in. It gave us a chance to really get them off their feet and really get extra treatment. And health is so important in the NFL week by week, and it gave us an advantage to really try to get our team healthy.
Tony Dungy is very well respected around the league, and I don't think I've ever met anybody that had anything negative to say about Tony Dungy.
Just an unbelievable person. You know, you talk about, are you defined by your title or values? He's truly a value person, and he has been that way since I've known him. He spoke to the team in that fashion. Just very true, you know, knows what he wants to do, how to go about doing it, and that was a challenge he brought to all of us. He's been through some of the things that we've gone through and understands just how close we are, and was a great message to our team.
So he was sharing a message that dealt specifically with your team and where you're at.
Well, I think he has a little bit of ownership with our team. I had a chance to visit with him this summer, and we spent a lot of time together and just talked through some things. So I think he feels like, you know what, a little bit of ownership with it. So, and he's been following us and sees where we're at and watching the games. And so it's kind of cool. It wasn't just somebody coming into our building that really was unaware of our team. He's been following it, so it could really relate to the players.
And a lot of people forget that, I mean, not only was he a successful coach in the National Football League, he was also one hell of a football player.
He was. And, you know, many of his stories that he talked with the players was the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, how they brought it together. And you know, it wasn't always, you know, the best at Pittsburgh either. But they just, you know, really stayed true to it and kept building on it.
Bye week also a chance to get healthy. You guys had a number of players that were injured. A couple of them did not play in London, a couple of injuries in London. Now that you're through 2 days of practice, 3 days of practice actually now after the bye week, how is the health of some of those players coming back?
Well, you know, you got guys like Jared Odrick that definitely benefited, Julius Thomas. So it came at a really good time for us. You know, these guys got an extra week just to get healthy. You're always going to have a few nicks, some guys that maybe aren't quite 100%, but that's how the season's going to go. You know, rarely do you see a guy go through the whole year not being that. So I think we're in great health. We got a few guys, just some nicks that we're looking at now. Might have to make some decisions on Sunday if they're playing or not. But for the most part, very healthy.
How's Luke Jokel?
He's good. Yeah,
because a lot of people have a tendency, okay, he's on IR, we're not going to talk about him anymore. But, I mean, you know, he had pretty serious injury.
Well, and that's not the case with us in our locker room because he's in the training room. You know, he was in yesterday, just saw him again today. So,
having surgery yet?
Yeah, had the surgery. So he's already rehabbing. You know, they were doing some rehab work with him. Robbie, our physical therapist, so that process has already started. So I think he's getting a little bit more sleep. He's at that stage right now. But, you know, the surgery went very well.
All right, well, let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show and more to talk about, including the return of Aaron Colvin with the head coach right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, Gus Bradley. And I want to make sure I got these titles right. Mega is Senior Vice President and Chief Legal Officer for the Jaguars. And Hamza is the Director of Football Logistics and Facilities. And a great job by both of them because I know they were both working very hard at communication during Matthew. And Hamza also, I mean, you guys were trying to line up alternative places to practice if something didn't go right here.
That's right. He had it all set up. I know we were, you know, the plan was probably to go to Atlanta and, you know, go up there. And he had the travel all set up. So, you know, all these things that come up on short notice, it's great to have a person like Hamza that you know you can trust and is, you know, really going to take care of you.
One thing that also happened during the bye week, you get Aaron Colvin back. And I remember talking to Aaron the last preseason game and before the game, and I was asking him, I said, do you have a plan, you know, heading into the suspension, so what you're going to do so that when you come back, you're ready to go? And he said, I do. And he said, I got a plan and talked about it with some different people and kind of we formulated it together. And I asked you, did it look like it was a good plan?
Yeah, unbelievable plan. You know, he's a guy that you completely trust. You know, he has a certain set of goals. You know, obviously team goals and then personal goals. And his attitude was, you know what, Gus? My plan was to do this in 16 games. Now I guess I got to do it in 12. You know, it's just very strong, very focused individual, great spirit, great energy when he came back into the building. You know, just great to have him back.
What does that do for you guys scheme-wise? Does it give you more flexibility or does it give you the ability to be more consistent?
Well, I think it does give us a chance to be more consistent. You know, we're looking every week prior to that, we're deciding, okay, how are we going to do this? Who's going to play nickel? Who's going to be on the outside? How are we going to set this up? For example, was it going to be Jalen on the inside and, you know, House and Prince on the perimeter? Or was it going to be Jalen on the outside with House or Prince and Gratz in the, you know, nickel? So those discussions come up. Now, pretty clear, you know, as far as who's going to be playing nickel and you know, where we go from here.
But it still gives you great flexibility that, look, if you've got matchups that you like and you want to put, you know, this week, for example, you know, Alshon Jeffery, let's say, you know, 6'3", let's say if you wanted to match up Jalen against him, you can do that because Aaron is a good corner also, and he could give you flexibility and you'd have confidence in him doing something else besides just the nickel.
Well, that is. And also the flexibility comes here is that we now have two very good nickel corners, you know, and that's hard. That can also play on the outside. Mm-hmm. So it allows you some flexibility to where if you wanted to have four corners up or, you know, you could do that and take care of the spots because you have some flexibility there. But, you know, it just rarely do you have two corners that could play both nickel the caliber they can play.
I was, I think it was one of your press conferences, you talked about how you threw a play at him in practice to see that how he would react, and it was a run fit, and he nailed it.
He did, yeah. I mean, just some things that you might have to have a player see once or twice or three times, you know, to get a feel for it. You know, he was in there and we ran the play. It was one of the first team plays we had. And
was it a test play? Intentional? Was it intentional?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, maybe a little bit, just to see where he was at. But he nailed it. He's a true pro now. You know, but we knew this about Aaron Colvin. He was a first-round talent that had the injury. We were fortunate to get him where we did. And it's just great to have him back healthy.
What does he also do? Because the one thing that has given me the impression about him is that he also is a strong leader.
He is. You know, and everybody leads a different way, but he has that presence. He's not afraid to speak up. If things aren't right, he'll voice his opinion on it. He's extremely competitive. The room feels it. Not only the defensive back room, but the whole defense feels it. And it's starting to spread, I think, through the whole team. So he's got that kind of intensity. He's got that kind of strength as a leader for our whole team.
The bye week, if you could do it all over again, and I know you can't, because hindsight's always 20/20, and most people don't like to look back. Would you like to have played last week to keep momentum going, or is momentum over talked about?
Well, I think that everybody has their views on it. I think momentum is powerful. I think urgency is powerful. There's things like that have some merit. So there's some value in getting a win and then going in right away the next week and playing. But also for our team, the health-wise, it was great for the bye week. And, because of the win in Indy, to go into a bye week and then excited about this opportunity, very good focus this whole week and starting on Monday. So, you can look at it both ways. I think we chose, because of the way and situation we're in, that we get great focus because of it.
Well, and then part of having momentum is great focus, like you talked about, and to be able to come back and have that extra day of practice, that certainly helps, doesn't it? Because, it allows, instead of having, all of a sudden you get a slow start, and now it's all of a sudden it's too late. It gives you that one extra day to maybe work the kinks out and then kind of hit the flow again.
It does. And, they had a couple of days off there. So it kind of gave us a chance to come back and not go 100 miles an hour, but introduce some of the Chicago stuff, get those things knocked out so not too much is on their plate on Wednesday.
All right, well, let's take a break right here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk some Chicago Bears with the head coach right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Folks, don't forget, tonight is the Meet Me at the 50 event. I'm looking forward to being out there. We're actually going to do a TV show from out there. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing your wife out there. And congratulations to her for putting on an event that just seems to be growing year after year.
Well, the help from many. Like I said, the women's organization, players and coaches' wives, so many other volunteers have helped, and the sponsors. That continues to grow. And an event like this couldn't take place without the help of many.
And you'll be out there for a little bit.
Yes.
To talk to some of the people out there. As Dave Caldwell will be there.
Yes.
Some Jaguars players will be there. John Gruden, Susie Colbert. It'll be a great night tonight here at Everbank. Going to Chicago to face the 1-4 Bears. Their lone division or lone win is against a division opponent, the Detroit Lions. They have played Indianapolis and Houston, so they faced more of your division teams than they have their own division teams. Does it help you as a coaching staff seeing them play your division foes to get a gauge, maybe personnel-wise, scheme-wise, because they're facing opponents that are familiar to you?
Somewhat it does. But for the most part, every week is so different, and how teams play and how they come out and attack. And I think it's important to know the coordinators. Vic Fangio. When I was in Seattle, he was the defensive coordinator at the San Francisco 49ers. Saw his defenses play for 4 or 5 years there. And so
you got a book on him.
Well, no, not a book, but just understand kind of how he goes about doing things. Mm-hmm. And very, very good coach. And so I think that's more important, understanding that. And then you look at their personnel, and then how is he going to try to utilize their personnel? And the same thing goes offensively in special teams.
I remember having a conversation with Howie Long a few years back, and it was I guess he right at the end of his career, and then once he was done, his good friend with the Oakland Raiders was Bill Pakel. And Bill Pakel came over to us in New York and played nose tackle for us. And Bill used to tell me, and then Howie talked to me about it, he said that, he actually kept a notepad, and he kept it on coordinators. He didn't keep it on teams, he said, because, the teams, it doesn't matter. I mean, a coach ends up changing places, and that coach is going to take that same thing to the new team. He'd have snap counts, audibles, anything that he could have on a coach, he would have it. He'd play the game and then go in there and write it down after the game.
We do the same thing as a coaching staff. I know when I coached Derek Brooks in Tampa, same thing. notebook after notebook piled with information, and it was all on the coordinators. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, they're going to try to generate their style, bring their style to that team, and then how they utilize personnel. But, you know, some things, coaches do things by habit, and, you know, it transfers with them.
All right, so here's a crazy question for you. Since two of your division teams have played the Bears, do division coaches share information about maybe some information that they garnered from playing the Bears? So, in other words, maybe Chuck Pagano or, you know, head coach of the Houston Texans, could he, hey, Gus, here's what they did to us.
No.
Because, I mean,
that would not
think
happen.
So, but a lot of people might ask that, you know, hey, is the division, you know, does the division help the division out?
No. You know, you rarely, you
wouldn't trust it anyway,
yeah,
either way.
But if we were playing Indy, John Fox might have conversation, you know,
right,
or things like that. But no, it generally doesn't go on. Coaches, you know, try to you know, figure out the information best off of tape, because really you get all the tape, you get the chance to watch it and study it. So, you know, everything's at your fingertips.
John Fox, you know him at all?
Yeah.
I, you know, it's kind of the same comments about Tony Dungy. I know John Fox had come in here for the Tom Coughlin J Fund charity golf tournament for a number of years. And everybody that had an opportunity to meet John Fox just, you know, raved about how he was as a person. Same type of thing for you?
Yeah. No, I really like Coach Fox. I've got a chance to know him the last couple of years, you know, at the head coaching meetings. And we spent some time together at the Combine. So, yeah, I could see, just like what you said, if you have a chance to sit down and visit with him, he's very engaging, great personality. You can see why his players love playing for him, enjoy him, and, you know, a fierce competitor.
This week, it's going to be a different quarterback than probably what you were expecting in the offseason. Jay Cutler hurt his thumb. I believe it was in game two, and so Brian Hoyer has started the last three for the Chicago Bears. And you guys are kind of familiar with Brian Hoyer. Last year was with the Houston Texans, and then the previous 2 years to that he was with the Cleveland Browns, who you guys had on the schedule as well. Does that help you guys, because you've seen him before and you've studied him before?
Well, it does, you know, and that we know really his strengths. I mean, he is a rhythm passer. Once he gets on a rhythm, he can do some damage. The last three games now, he's had over 300 yards passing, and that's not surprising to us. I think that he gets rid of the ball. He makes very good decisions. And you can see that when he's on the field with the offense, there's a lot of energy. And you can tell that just by watching the game. So you know that the players are really rallying around him. They've got great trust in him. So he's just playing at a real high level right now.
Yeah, high level. Third-ranked passer in the National Football League with a rating of 108.5. And maybe just as impressive on his third down rating, a 94.0. That's pretty good.
It is. You know, completing over 70% of his passes. So, and they take their shots. So, you know, that intermediate range, you know, early range throws. But we'll take some shots, throw it up to the big play receiver and Jeffrey. And, you know, I think he does a good job spreading it out.
So you said you got books on coordinators. Their offensive coordinator, Dow Loggins.
Yep.
I want to make sure I pronounce that right. Did I get that right?
Yep.
What's the book on him?
Well, he was at Tennessee for some time, too. So, you know, but this is his first time coordinating at Chicago. Adam Gase was the coordinator last year. So you look back at some tape when he was the offensive coordinator at Tennessee. You look back when he was, you know, the other places he's been. But you see some things that were transferred over from last year. When he was there in Chicago. And then you can see some of his own personality brought into it as well.
Well, the one thing that I think he would be smart doing is running the football, which he does, because he's got two guards up front, you know, Kyle Long and Josh Sitton. But you could probably say they're the best guards in football.
Yeah, they're playing really well right now. You know, to compare them, I think we just look at them and say they're two very good guards, and they're playing at a high level. They do a lot of their scheme behind those two. Long's very athletic, works up to the second level.
He's a big man.
He is. You know, he just does a good job. You know, a better guard than he was at tackle. Just playing with a high level of confidence.
They've got a rookie at center, Cody Whitehair. Does it get any better for a rookie center? Let's see, I got Kyle Long on my right. I got Josh Sitton on my left. You know, I'm good.
He is. You know, and I believe we had him in the Senior Bowl. So a very good leader for our team. You know, he's young. He's in his, fourth game now, going into his fifth game. So he's learning as it goes on. But to be sandwiched in between those two guys, great way to start.
Great way to start. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk more of the Bears offense with the head coach right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. We're hoping to have John Gruden join us here with the head coach, Gus Bradley, at some point. Get a little conversation. I'll just let you guys go.
I don't think you'll have to let us go. I think he'll just go.
He'll just go. Mike's on and just say, okay, coach, do you still call him coach?
I do. You know, Coach Grew or Grew. You know,
Grew Dog.
No, when he's not around. No, he's great. I'm telling you, I really hope he makes it in because he is entertaining.
Well, I hope we do. Let's go back to the Bears offense. They've got a rookie running back, Jordan Howard, fifth round pick out of Indiana, had over 100 yards rushing last week against the Colts. Also had a receiving touchdown. Effective player. You know, we talk about that offensive line, and now you've got a back that's having success behind him. You know, before you get to Brian Hoyer, you got to stop him.
You do. You know, and he's had some explosive runs. You know, the couple of games that you get a chance to see his runs, you know, where he breaks it, hitting north and south, does a good job. Really poised behind those two guards. You know, will be patient for his block. So a fifth-round draft pick that's playing at a high level right now.
Yeah, playing really well. 5.8 yards a carry for the season. That's pretty doggone good.
It is. And, you know, like I said, a couple of those explosive runs. So, you know, again, it comes back to his running style, the running style they prefer with him, the plays that are designed for him to get him to operate in space and really more of a downhill type runner.
So you've got a good young running back. They've got a very good tight end in Zach Miller as far as receiving tight end. He actually was a draft pick here with the Jaguars years ago. He was a quarterback out of Nebraska, Omaha, I think 09. Gene Smith pick. Couldn't stay healthy here, and now all of a sudden he's staying healthy. He's catching the ball all over the field. So you've got a good running back, a good tight end. Could be a challenging day for linebacker safety, and this will be the second career start for Miles Jack at Otto. You're looking forward to seeing him, more of him.
Yeah, it is. You know, he's got, you know, good speed. You know, it's a position that now this will be his second week of playing it. So, you know, we're fortunate that both Miles and Dan Scuda, you know, they're different in the styles of they're going to play the auto position. So it gives us some flexibility right there. But, you know, Miles will still be in the learning process, but he's got very good speed. The way he's playing now, the way his speed that's showing up on the tape, and, you know, along with a good edge setter like Dan Scuda. So a pretty good combination there for us.
Well, we were talking about the Bears offensive line with Josh Sitton, Kyle Long, and the rookie in the middle. Okay, here's Miles Jack, and he's got Paul Posluszny and Telvin Smith. That's also a pretty good situation to be in for a young player.
It is. You know, those guys, you know, those two feed off each other, Telvin and Puz, and then to pass it on. And, you know, Dan Scuda does a great job, too. He's coming back from that injury. He's nursing that back a little bit, but hopefully we get him back close to 100%. And, you know, it's just a good linebacking group.
I haven't even talked about Alshon Jeffery yet, but let's do that right now. A big, big wide receiver. I don't think he has great speed, but he's kind of like a power forward. You know, he goes up, got great body position, always going over the top to make catches. He'll be a challenge. His yards per catch is way high.
Yeah, he's obviously a guy that you got to know where he is on the field. Uses his body very well. Can make the big catch for him. You know, you would think that he'd be a guy that's going to go the, you know, more deeper developing type routes, but he can catch those intermediate and short routes and does a good job getting going and getting yards after catch. So, obviously a guy that we need to be aware of.
They lost, was it Kevin White, right?
Yep.
First round pick last year. He's on injured reserve, and watching the Colts game, I was sitting there going, who's 81? Cameron Meredith.
Yeah.
The one wide receiver that probably nobody knows anything about.
Well, you know, I think most people, when they probably watched him, they said, well, he's probably a third wide receiver, you know, third or fourth type wide receiver. But he didn't play like it in that game.
No, he had like 100-something yards receiving,
over
a touchdown.
10 catches. And, you know, it really looked like he's very poised out there, made a double move in the red zone for a touchdown. So, you know, obviously, that's the NFL, though. When a guy goes down to injury, gives another guy an opportunity, and he took advantage of that opportunity. So, you know, very good on the perimeter.
Flip it over to the other side of the ball. You had mentioned Vic Fangio being an excellent coach. What makes Vic Fangio an excellent coach, and where you gain familiarity with him? He was the defensive coordinator with the 49ers when Jim Harbaugh was their head coach, right?
Right. Yeah, he's been in the NFL for quite some time. You know who he is. You know, he's going to run some quarters. He's going to run some three deep. You know how, they're going to play different styles, as far as situations. And they stay true to it. And, they know if you have a certain threat, they're going to take him out of the game. They're going to match up. They're going to, that's Vic Fangio. So he does a really good job with the talent they have, and they always are going to play hard because he keeps it simple enough to make sure that is there. Play fast.
The one area that I think that they were really good at in San Francisco, they were very good with turnover differential.
They were, and very physical. Mm-hmm. San Francisco's defense was a very physical type defense, and you can see that in Chicago's. Even though they've got some guys that are injured, the guys that have replaced those guys, that same mentality shows up.
Yeah, they're trying to do it, but they don't quite have the horses yet up front. Not because I'm sitting here talking about Justin Smith. Who's the other guys that they had in San Francisco?
Yeah, the good Alden Smith.
Smith, but there was two other guys that were one. In fact, one of them was a Florida guy. Big, strong. I just remember
Dorsey came later.
Yeah, and there was another guy, because I remember reading, they were talking about how these guys, they actually worked out, Justin Smith and those guys, worked out with 200-pound dumbbells. Not 100 pounds each one. It was 200 in one hand and 200 in the other, and there was three guys on the 49ers football team, all defensive linemen, that used to lift with those dumbbells.
Yeah, that was a great defense that they had there. So, and Vic was really behind that. So he's just got a lot of respect around the league for what he does and how he really, elevates defenses with his scheme.
All right, well, let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk more about the Bears and their defense against the Jaguars offense right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside this guy. We might hear that line, right?
Yeah.
You were saying that. Head coach John Gruden expected to join us here. We'll see, though. I'm sure that they have eight different people pulling him in different directions right now. He's here for the Meet Me at the 50 event to raise money for cancer, and then also to raise the awareness of it. That's going on at Everbank Field tonight. Great job by the Jaguars Women's Association putting that on. And continuing along with the Bears defense and your offense this week with the Luke Jokel injury, Patrick Omame is going to be your starter at left guard. Watching him play against the Colts, I thought he had one play that he gave up, a little bit of inside pressure, but he recovered, didn't allow a hit on the quarterback. But then other than that, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, he's a big body, very strong individual, brings some mass to that position now. So, and his ability to be next to Calvin Beecham, I know, that'll be a new relationship on the field, so be it. But, they understand each other, they know each other, so hopefully that whole process, we can speed it up. But he's playing pretty well right now for us.
Yeah, you talk about mass, 6'4", 320. I don't know, he might be a little bit more than 320 now.
Yeah, he does, when you look at him on the field. But, he's got some experience, too. He's played the position, played in games, so, he'll bring that to the table.
Well, the nice thing is he's got a little familiarity with the Bears.
Yeah.
He played for them last year, right?
He did. Yep, that's where he picked him up from.
So he's got a little familiar with it, although there's some new players with the Bears. And two of the guys that he's going to have to block, that second level, which you guys, I thought the offensive line did a fantastic job of working to the second level against the Colts. Jarrell Freeman, former Colt, and then Danny Trevathan, former Denver Bronco, or the inside linebackers with the Chicago Bears, and two pretty good players.
They are. I think they felt like it, after going through last year, they wanted to elevate there. And with Vic's scheme, you got to have linebackers that can run, linebackers that can really match up in coverage. And so, they had an intent now to go out and get these two guys, and they do fit very well to the scheme.
Leonard Floyd was inactive against the Colts last week. He was their first-round pick back in the springtime. I'm sure you guys did plenty of work on him because I know that there was some talk that, well, if the Jaguars move down, maybe he's a guy that they could pick because, he's an outside edge rusher. Not sure if he's going to play or not. I know he had a calf. that
right.
was made him inactive?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the report, and I think he practiced it limited today. So, you know, he's that edge rusher that gives them some burst. You know, he would have been a Leo for us, the same as Dante and Yannick. So, you know, he brings that to them. You know, very good pass rusher. So we'll just have to monitor him day by day.
Yeah, and from you know, watching him, he's still young, trying to still figure it out from watching him. But the one guy that's not young and is getting it done is Willie Young. Big, long, strong player, outside rusher. Looks like he's got a little bit of everything to him.
He does. You know, he's a guy that could get 3 sacks in a game. He's got that type of ability. We watched him when free agency was coming out and had a chance to really study him. And, you know, he's a very experienced rusher. You know, he has a variety of moves. They'll move him around from the right side to the left side based on who they have healthy. So he's got some great flexibility as well.
Kind of different. You know, the Chicago's always known for their defense. And in the secondary, they've always had recognizable names. I mean, the most recent guy that really stood out was Charles Peanut Tillman. And so it's a very different secondary than what it used to be. Is there a guy in the secondary that is a standout player for them?
Well, you know, you're right. They've had some injuries there. You know,
Tracy Porter is a guy.
Yeah, Tracy Porter's played a lot of football for them. And then I'm trying to think of the kid from Virginia Tech that played that we really liked coming out. Now, he's on the IR list, you know, but he played for him. He was a good player for him. Let me see if I can find it on the depth chart that you have right here. But
yeah,
I really
like
him
on there. The IR guys, I don't put
okay.
on my chart.
But yeah, Tracy Porter, and then you know a Glenn kid that's playing for him. So, you know, they're a young group that's coming into their own.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, more with the head coach right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coaches now, Gus Bradley, and also have John Gruden in with us. Welcome in, John.
Thanks for having me. I'm fired up.
All right, so I want to hear some stories.
I got a lot of stories. I don't know how long this segment is, but this is a great cause tonight. We're raising money for the right cause and football and family. It's a great night. I hope everybody can stop by.
Well, and I know that Michaela, the Jaguars Women's Club, are doing this event that you have been so kind to come in for, the Meet Me at the 50 event to raise money for breast cancer. And you're going to be out here talking to everybody. You're going to be sharing some stories out there, I'm sure. But what I'm looking for Gus Bradley stories.
Well, you know what? Logs, we lost some good coaches. Mike Tomlin left, got a head coaching job with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I lost Rod Marinelli, got a Lions head coaching job. Joe Barry, everybody's leaving. My coaches left me. I got to interview a linebacker coach. I got to find somebody. And I must have interviewed with Monty Kiffin 30 coaches, former head coaches, former defensive coordinators. And finally, Monty Kiffin says, "I got our guy, Gus Bradley from North Dakota State." I said, "That's what I need.
From where?
I need a coach from North Dakota State to coach our line. That's what I need. I need North Dakota State to coach Derek Brooks." This young kid comes in there, and he's unbelievable. I've not been around the energy, the information, just the concise, the enthusiasm, the aptitude of football that Gus Bradley has, and he's the best coach, I think, in the league. If I could hire one coach to be on my team today, I'm not kidding you, I'd hire Gus Bradley. That's what the impression he made on me. He inherited a very difficult situation here. Nobody wants to admit it these days, but you watch the next 4 games, what happens. The moon is going to move, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be back.
Nice. But I bet you didn't know back then that the North Dakota State Bison were going to be perennial national champions, right? And that was like a, you know, farming ground for great coaches.
I didn't think much about North Dakota State, nor did everybody in the NFL until Carson Wentz showed up and started stepping on people's face. Look, this is a legitimate program where they produce not only football talent, but they produce football people. It's a culture out there that I admire. I'm going to be their speaker this spring, and Gus will tell you, it's special. It's a place that generates the right kind of fabric it takes to be a champion.
Well, the kind of fabric takes a special person to even live there. It gets cold up there in the wintertime.
Yeah. Gruttenhouse, Coach Gruttenhouse, he lived in Green Bay for how long did you live there?
Well, that reminds me of Green Bay. Yeah. I grew up in South Bend, Indiana. My dad coached at Notre Dame. There's not a lot there but the Irish. Then I went to, fortunately, the Green Bay Packers, and the environment is all about the Packers. And I kind of get that sense at North Dakota State. If you're going to move out there, you got to love the land, you got to love your family, and you got to love football.
And you got to plug your car in.
You got to love God, and that's about it.
And you got to plug your car in.
Well, that's fine with me, so as long as they love football. But they'll knock your face into the dirt. If you like football, you better know what you're getting into. You can ask Iowa, you can ask Kansas State, you can ask anybody. They're a physical bunch of people that love to play the game.
All right, so I got to ask a question because a lot of Jaguars fans probably have this on their mind. Why can't you pull some strings and get the Jaguars on Monday Night Football? I mean, you and Gus, the connection, right? I mean, it's natural.
It'll happen. It'll happen. You know, all good things take time.
Okay.
It takes a little bit of time. I think in the next year or two, you're going to see the Jaguars on primetime a lot.
So, Gus, when you went to work with John, could you ever imagine him being on TV, Monday Night Football, and as an analyst and not a coach?
No, I couldn't. Every time, just the chance to visit with them. You know, here I came from North Dakota State, and here's John Gruen, and won a Super Bowl a couple of years back. And that's all we did. All day was talk football. I mean, the whole day. You know, in college, you're dealing with recruiting and dealing with parents, and, I mean, I loved it. And, that's what all he does right now is football. You think, oh, no, he's on Monday Night Football. He's got his own place. He watches football. I'm sure he still get in there. What, 317?
At least, what else is there? You got an opportunity in this country to do what you want to do, find your passion. A lot of people never find it, and I found mine as football. And I just sit in there, and one of these days I'll come back and get a team. It might not be in the NFL. It might be in high school. It might be in junior college. But I'll be back, and I'll coach again. And I take pride in helping people in the business, on the field and off the field, right down in Tampa. I got a nice little center that
– Hey, you got a center now.
Yeah.
Perkins has told me all about it.
Yeah.
Mike Perkins.
Yeah, we have NFL players. We have NFL coaches, high school coaches, college coaches come down there. There's a lot of restrictions on players and coaches, Logs, as you know.
Yeah.
It's not like the old days. You have to abide by the CBA. You can't have any contact with your coach for
Do you fall in that category?
No, not at the FFCA. I'm 24/7, man. Hey, I got players coming down, coaches coming down. We work all day and night, and nobody regulates me. And if they do, I'll kick their butt. I'll knock them right out of the freaking parking lot. So it's a great place for football junkies and people at North Dakota State, people in the NFL, people in college and high school come down there and they relate to it.
Yeah, that's nice. What do you miss most about coaching, though?
I miss the players.
Yeah.
I miss the game. I miss the week. I miss the journey. You know, I miss the acquisition of a player. I would get you, okay, in your 11th year, I'd talk you into playing for me one more year. and I'd pay you, but I'd talk you into playing one more year.
How much would you pay me, John?
Well, I'd pay you what you're worth, which is not much. But I'd get more out of you than you got out of yourself, because it's just what I miss. I miss helping a guy become as everything he can become. I just miss that. I miss helping a guy be great, as good as he can be, and flourish, and help a team through the dark moments, through the great moments. I just miss the players,
yeah,
and the coaches.
It's
and the
all
process.
About the relationship.
It is. You miss the locker room.
Yeah.
Well, that's so true, too. He was the best at it. The relationship he had with the players, a team meeting with John Gruden, and this just go through a week with him and see how the players evolve from the first meeting to when it comes to game day and see how they're prepared and they're ready to go and they're playing with full confidence. He's amazing at it.
All right, we got to take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. And, John, we appreciate you coming on because you're going to leave with me. And we're going to go do TV.
You're a big time guy.
There's no doubt. It didn't take you long to figure that out.
You're a double edged sword. You can rush or drop in coverage just like I thought you could.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back. JP Shadrick will wrap up with the head coach, Gus Bradley, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. JP Shadrick in for Jeff Loggeman and the head coach. Gus Bradley is out of here, getting ready for Meet Me at the 50 tonight here at Everbank Field. Our thanks to John Gruden, Monday Night Football analyst, for jumping in. Fantastic segment there. Joe Fortunato is with us as well.
You got a schedule nearby?
Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Now, Gruden said, watch out for the next four games.
That's right.
And we'll be, what are our next four games?
Well,
Chicago.
Three of the four are on the road. At Chicago, home against the Oakland Raiders, at Tennessee on a Thursday night, and then at the Chiefs.
How about that? Four games.
You win three of those four, you're back to 500 again. That's how it works.
One of those is his former team.
Yeah, the Oakland Raiders, yeah. In fact. So we'll see what happens. Coming up, if you're in Jacksonville on 1010XL, it's Jaguars Thursday coming up next. Pacelli, Loggeman will come in later after Meet Me at the 50, and it'll be right here. Also on Jaguars.com, we'll have the live stream coming up. Our thanks to Gus Bradley, Coach John Gruden. For Jeff Loggeman, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.